from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
Today, an original essay and a local artist profile. But first, a documentary on mental health issues in rural areas.
You might think that the residents of rural areas, with a slower pace of life and easy access to nature, exhibit better mental wellness than their urban counterparts. Unfortunately, that's not the case. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control reported in 2015 that one out of every five Americans is suffering from a mental health concern, whether living in bustling New York City or a rural area like Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and the surrounding region.
Not only are rural residents just as prone, but statistics on suicide show that rural regions suffer the most. The same CDC report concluded that suicide death rates for rural counties were significantly higher than those for metropolitan counties.
This and other narratives demonstrate that living mentally well in rural regions presents unique challenges.
This is Rory Bretz.
And Cooper Treader.
Let's talk about rural mental health.
In rural areas, you have less clinicians simply because a lot of clinicians are attracted to urban areas.
That was Jesper Nielsen, the CEO and co-owner of Coriel Nielsen Therapeutic Associates in Johnstown.
Clinician access, however, is not the only issue that the region faces in terms of mental health. Tracy Selak, the administrator for Cambria County Mental Health Services, says that transportation is key to a mentally healthy region.
Travel. And I can tell you a story about an individual that I had who lived in northern Cambria. He would have to catch the bus at 8 o'clock in the morning to get to Ebensburg for an appointment at 9. Then he would have to wait there until 3:30 to get the bus back home.
The history of the Johnstown region affects mental health too.
I think there's no doubt that when an area goes through large changes like that, whether it's a flood or the collapse of a dominant industry or whatever it might be, that definitely affects kind of the collective psyche, if you will.
It doesn't help either that mental health stigma runs rampant.
We're a fairly conservative area, and there's, for lack of a better term, a little bit of the bootstrap mentality. A lot of people think that they can just pick themselves up by the bootstraps and keep going. Unfortunately, for most people, that does not work.
Jesper says he thinks that if the bootstrap mentality weren't prevalent, there would be an even greater demand for mental health access.
It seems really hush-hush. People make it out that it's something to be ashamed of, and it's really not. It's something that we need to talk about because suicide is never the answer.
That was Cassidy Klein, a 2018 graduate of Johnstown High School who has struggled with mental illness herself.
My parents got divorced when I was around 9 years old. I thought it was my fault. I just started spiraling. It just really started with self-harming and then just body image issues, and I was hospitalized quite a few times, and then a few suicide attempts.
So rural regions have problems that impact everyone: clinician access, transportation difficulty, and an unwillingness to seek help.
Some segments of Johnstown's population suffer an even higher risk for mental health. Jesper and Tracy explain.
In Johnstown, minorities tend to have a much lower income per household average than the average white family in the area, which is tragic, but unfortunately part of our local reality.
If you don't have those basic needs, if you don't know where you're getting your next meal, if you don't know where you're laying your head down at night, that definitely can play a factor in your overall mental well-being.
LGBTQ individuals also face concerns. According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, LGBTQ youth are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide, experience suicidal thoughts, or engage in self-harm than straight people.
It is more difficult to identify in that way in a rural area.
Tracy says that the influence of religion also has a unique relationship with mental health.
I'm not being critical of the faith-based, but I think there's a little more reliance on praying about it, that sort of thing, and a less of a willingness to necessarily do medications.
She told us a story from 2001 about an individual who was involved in their church.
It was in this lobby. They had locked themselves in the bathroom stall and were on their hands and knees consuming toilet water. And the church was actually encouraging them not to take their medication, that they needed to believe in their faith and that they could pray wellness.
The prevalence of farming in a rural region like Johnstown's also plays an important role in the narrative of mental health as well.
Sadly, a lot of farmers end up committing suicide. They're one of the most suicide-prone professions in the United States.
Urban or rural, we all face challenges. But how can someone strive to live mentally well?
Limiting screen time, be careful with social media too. Exercise is important, and it doesn't have to be running for hours a day. It could just be brisk walking, maybe for 20, 25 minutes. Very important to try to eat a balanced meal. Also, I think it's just very important to have a group that you feel very comfortable around, that you can share a lot of things with, that, you know, understands where you're coming from. Taking just 5-10 minutes a day where you just sit in total silence, that in and of itself can also have a very positive effect.
Cassidy has a much more personal view on ways to live mentally well.
Acknowledging things that you're thankful for every day, making a list of goals, even little things. Like, sometimes depression's so bad, like, you don't even want to get out of bed, but that can be a goal. That can be a huge step for someone.
Above all, we just need to talk about it more. Cassidy brought Project Semicolon, a national organization dedicated to suicide prevention, to her high school as a way to start a conversation.
A semicolon is used when an author could have ended a sentence but chose not to, and the author is you and the sentence is your life. I saw it on Tumblr when I was 13, and I always said to myself, like, that's going to be my first tattoo, and it was.
The drawing or tattoo is used as a marker for a person who is willing to talk about mental illness or is just willing to be a friend.
We made a video for the Semicolon Project when I was in 11th grade, and it had over 17,000 views on Facebook for somewhere like Johnstown. That's pretty cool.
Tracy, who also has a semicolon tattooed on her wrist, agrees that awareness is the key.
The important thing is that we're talking about it. We talk about stigma all the time, but the only way we're going to break that stigma is to continue to talk about it, normalize it, just make it an everyday thing.
This piece was produced by Cooper and Rory, two youth philanthropy interns with the Community Foundation for the Alleghenies, serving Cambria, Bedford, and Somerset counties in central Pennsylvania. Now, Sanaya, a Woodland Hills Middle School student, with an essay entitled The Ripple Effect.
My name is Sanaya. I go to Woodland Hills Junior Senior High School, and I'm going to be reading this essay I wrote on 9/11. It is called The Ripple Effect. Even though I was not born during 9/11, my family was affected. My grandmother was in New York at the time. Every time 9/11 comes around, she tells everybody the story of what happened on that day. She told us that she would have been in the area where the towers were struck if her dad was not sick. She did not work in the towers, but in a building nearby. She had to call off from work to take care of her father that day. She told us that at first the TV was off, but she had to turn it on so her dad would have something to watch while she went and got him some medicine. And when she turned it on, it was just a picture of a burning building. The sight caused her to sit because she was so shocked by the sight. She prayed to God and thanked him for not letting her be in that area during that day. When she tells us this story, she gets so emotional and almost starts to cry. It makes everyone sad, but she says she needs to tell everyone this story because she doesn't want history to repeat itself. She is my real inspiration. I'm just thankful that she wasn't actually there near the tower. She was in New York, but she wasn't near the towers that day. I'm thankful that she survived.
On our last segment, a young Pittsburgh musician shares his journey to becoming a skilled artist.
My name is Emmanuel. I'm 19 years old. I'm from Wilkinsburg. My old head call him SD, coerce me into this life. He's selling 50, spending time in jail. He told me, little homie, just rep my squad, we cause hell. Now I just touched out and couldn't pay my bail. So this is me officially going off and doing my own thing. Ain't going nowhere in this life without just a little pain. To my baby, I want the money, could hold the fame. But I love my baby, I never cheat, kill for my son, I never leave. I promised them they gonna eat, so my occupation messing up this beat. Rap gang, let me plant my seed. I wrote this a little while ago, thinking about my girlfriend and my son and, you know, a lot of violent things I used to do. I write music based on the things I've went through, like coming up in a hard life. I've done a lot of things I regret, and my son's a big part of it because I realized I don't really know what to do. Like, I'm scared I can't provide for him, so I'm just going to keep going over my music and making it better, so I will be able. My motivation for this is hopefully I'll be able to put food on the table with it, because I don't really believe I'm good at too much of anything else but music and cooking. I've been through pretty tough times. I've been homeless, severely depressed. I've had to do a lot of things that I'm not proud of, but one thing I can always say is, as long as you hold your head up and just keep believing, I'll get out of this one day. I'll get out of this one day. You'll do it. But that's only if you have the drive to do it. You can't sit at home and say, oh my God, I'm so broke, I really need a job. Not fill out a job application and expect a job to come to you. You have to get up and just go out there and do it. This last job I just had, I actually got that job by filling out an application at 7:30 p.m. It was still wintertime, so it was cold, and they hired me on the spot. They saw something in me. They saw the fact that I wasn't giving up. That day, I filled out applications for about half of downtown, and that was the one job I got because I didn't give up. So if you really, really want to do something, just get up and go do it. It's one of the biggest lessons I've learned in life. I promise you'll see something one day. My name's Emmanuel. You can call me YG. Don't forget it.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org.